Welcome to the B2B Influence Spotlight on Industry Game Changers podcast. I'm Paula Keoki, founder and CEO of Outward Media. Outward Media is a trusted data partner to Fortune 2000 businesses and startups alike. We provide the highest quality audience data to fuel engaged, integrated, omnichannel campaigns. Our mission is to deliver real data, real results, and invaluable reach to real people. Welcome, everyone. This is the Marketing Vanguard Leading Voices in B2B Innovation podcast. I'm Paula Keoki, CEO of Outward Media, your host today. Today, we're fortunate to have Nico Bernie Miller. She is the founder and CEO of Change 3 Enterprises, which is a growth and performance marketing agency. I've known Nico for quite a while, and I know how successful she is and how good she is at what she does for her clients. So let's just jump in, Nico. With your background in economic research and analytics, how do you measure the success of your B2B marketing campaigns currently?
Great question. There are a lot of ways to measure success. It really depends on the objectives for the client. When it comes to the kind of campaigns that we often run where clients want high quality, fully vetted lead opportunities that mean conversations, the way that we measure success is not so much volume oriented, which in a lot of cases where digital agencies run like paid media campaigns or those sorts of things, they're looking for volume. I got a million impressions and this, our click-through rate is 0.035 or whatever it is. But when it comes to really vetted appointments, which is for us, and I think for a lot of clients in B2B, it's actually about how engaged the audience is. So what we look for are what we call interest signals. Have they visited a piece of content or a page or a set of pages multiple times? Are there multiple decision makers in that audience engaging? Can you identify and measure engagement by brand, by account, for example? Cool. Do you have that in place? And then obviously all those fundamentals that we talked about with digital, what's your click-through rate? What's your open rate? What's your rate of conversion? All those are great ways to measure. Of course, like I said, if your goal is ultimately to start conversations that will result in possible sales, then we really strongly encourage you to use an account-based marketing or ABX. I think that's what they call it now, account-based experiences.
Okay.
And an account-based marketing framework. So you can really look at engagement by brand, by account, because that's really what it ultimately boils down to, is really knowing your audience very well. And that actually takes me to you, my dear, why our relationship has spanned the decades, because email is getting harder and harder every day. It's harder and harder, and it's really not for the faint of heart, but it's so important because having that high quality database that you can tie to your various marketing activities, including email, really gives you that framework for account-based experiences, account-based marketing, and those analytics that will ultimately drive you to quality leads.
And you're providing the account-based marketing currently, right? To your client?
Correct. Okay. Yep. Full funnel. Okay. Yeah.
Excellent. How has the rapid evolution of digital platforms and programmatic advertising changed the way you approach audience targeting in the high tech and telecom sectors?
Great question. This is really one, a spicy question. This was a panel. It would be a lot of debate. So lots of people spend a ton of money on digital ads, Facebook, LinkedIn, Google display, you name it. And ads are the thing because, like I said, it's tactics that we're used to, like postal or email or old school tactics, are not expensive. They're more expensive than they were back in the day, but they are increasingly challenging and they require more technology to be effective. And so folks have resorted to ads. But, and again, it could be my generation. My position on digital ads are, unless you can really craft a well-known audience that aligns very well with your brand, your product, your targeting, then digital ads are like, I don't know, taking your money and dumping it into a barbecue. That's just your truth. Because the targeting for, especially in social media, but even in Google, the targeting isn't really based on a well-known profile or persona or an account or anything like that. And though those advertisers have done a better job of allowing advertisers to say, for example, upload a marketing list and match to them, what nobody really has taken into consideration fully is that the average average decision maker that we target, you know, that IT manager, that networking manager, a CEO, a small business owner, those kind of profiles. Man, we have a lot of devices. I've got two computers, I got a phone, I got two tablets. The average user might have a ton. They might have 10 devices. I know that sounds hard to wrap your head around, but think about yourself as a business person. You got multiple computer devices, you got devices at home, you have different devices. Why do I bring that to your attention? Because each of those devices represents an IP address and it represents an impression on an ad network. There are some that they know you, right? Because maybe you're using Google or something like that. So Google probably knows, or Apple, they might know all your mobile devices, but they probably don't know your computers. And a lot of users interface with ads on mobile, but when it comes to buying, and we've done lots of research about this, when it comes to making business decisions and engaging with ads or paid media, or for example, you're ready to call a telecom provider or you're ready to buy a new piece of technology, you usually do that when you're in your office. And
I
in
agree
that
with that.
case, you're usually not on your device. You're calling from your office phone. And again, Google doesn't know that one either. So why do I bring that up? Attribution, right? You asked me about measurement. Attribution is where you attribute that conversion to a particular channel or a tactic. Attribution is just a dang old mess because you'll see traffic coming from one channel and traffic coming from another, and it very well could be the same people. It could be completely different people, and you don't know. So
Well, it could also be if you factor in fraud.
it could be bots. Exactly. No, in a lot of cases, it is bots. And the networks have no incentive whatsoever to address it because they get paid for it. And they address it as just enough advertisers don't bolt, but I can assure you that they're not trying to really crack down. I'd say now, I know this is also spicy, like X has done a lot to validate their entire network just as a part of that whole transition of the new ownership. If I was really trying to be spicy, I'd say X is probably the most verified and vetted network right now because of the change in ownership. But back to your question, how has digital media really affected business-to-business advertising? I think it's really clouded the market, to be quite honest with you. B2B advertisers, especially the big tech companies, because those guys have literally billions of dollars to spend, and they have dumped that money in digital ads and muddied up the water. The average business consumer doesn't search for the stuff that you want to sell them. Your search ads aren't going to be as effective. An IT manager's not going to go on and be like, "Oh, who's a good storage provider?" They just don't do that. And it's created a lot of, I like to call it noise.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Yeah.
And advertisers are working so hard. And I'd love your thoughts on this, but the average advertiser has got more technical skills, more research skills, and more creative skills than, say, 20 years ago. Because
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
you have to, right? You have to know about tech. You have to know about cloud and AI. You have to know about these things and how they interlace together. The way these ad networks are is actually very complex, and they have these AI-driven algorithms, and you need to understand those things. But back to the question, how has that affected business marketing? What I would say is it's created a lot of noise. It's also created a lot of opportunities. And that the savviest marketer, or the most practical, is actually the word I like to use, the most practical marketer is going to really take a step back and think about how they want to build relationships with future customers. And so what we always recommend is ensuring you have a really clear, unique selling proposition, your USP, and that you really understand the value that you offer your future customers, and that you turn that into thought leadership, and that you've probably got way more thought leadership than you realized across your business, and that you produced really focused, valuable, value-driven experiences for your future customers so they can engage with you and get to know your brand. And it can be a pain in the butt. This is a great example. We're having fun and it's great, but podcasts are a really great way for a future customer to get to know you or key people in your organization and your brand. But there's so many, and podcasts aren't always highly trafficked, so to speak. A person, "Oh, well, I only got 500 listens." That's 500 future customers,
A
you know?
lot
That's a lot. And I think that
versus
digital
having
ads,
500 phone conversations.
oh my gosh, digital ads have changed our frame of reference. And so folks want millions of views. They want to go viral. But I always say to my business customers, whether they're in a big company or small companies, don't worry about going viral. Worry about reaching your target customer, right? Your that persona, those accounts. Make sure you're penetrating those. You should be able to measure that. Put those tools in place to measure them and go for quality, not quantity.
Yeah, definitely.
So
And I think the market's moved in that direction.
I think so.
Much as a few years ago, it was just millions of impressions and how to get
Pray and spray.
right. And even the brands we work with, they're like questioning the dollars.
Oh,
We're,
yeah.
what's our return? Is it a real return off the, in particular off the programmatic advertising?
Also, folks don't have that kind of fat anymore. Back, it's been an apocalypse for tech and telecom in these last few years. They were riding high around the 2020 pandemic timeframe. And like one of our clients, they literally earned an extra $1 billion in cash in less than a year. I'd like
It's
that.
huge.
It's huge. But 2, 3 years later, that all disappears because the customers are like, oh, I don't need to work from home. And oh, I can downgrade. There are more competitors. There's been broadband funds. And so there's more options. And so now they're like, they're letting go of all that staff, all everybody, not just telco, cloud, compute, software, everybody loaded up with staff. And so they laid off over 1 million people in just the last 18 months.
For telco, you're talking about?
Oh yeah, for tech. Yeah, tech
Okay.
companies,
Okay.
over 1 million people.
Okay.
And so what is that? How does that affect marketers? Oh, it affects it a lot. A lot of these people used to be in tech. A lot of these people are in those roles that you might be marketing to. And so again, that just creates a lot of noise. We strongly recommend knowing your audience, having a great database, using the tools to allow you to connect that database to your marketing and to just have, I don't want to say lower your expectations because that's not it at all. Increase your expectations in terms of the quality of the yield that you get, but set a frame of reference in terms of how much traffic, how many clicks, how many conversions. Set that reference point to something that really aligns with your market. And if it doesn't, if you got 500,000 potential customers and you get 60 million views, I'm pretty certain that's not quality right there.
And to your point, because any bit generates a lead, the salespeople get upset when it's not a qualified lead.
Oh my gosh, they
They'd rather
get
have a one
livid.
qualified lead versus 10 unqualified that they're spending their
Oh
energy.
my gosh. Then 10,000, and then
Yes.
that's what it has. That's what it turns into in certain cases where you might get hundreds of form fills or downloads or whatever, but they're just really not quality. And I'd say that turns into because social networks is just like a free for all, it's all cowboy days. And so you don't really know who you're advertising to. Even on LinkedIn, you know, where you can target by company and title and stuff, even there, you still don't know who they are. You just know the parameters that they promise to
We solved that
deliver.
problem. We have solved that problem. We actually create the audience, and you know who the individual is. So,
Yes, no, that's what I'm saying. That's why having an amazing data provider is just critical. And
it's a black
you know,
box.
the
It's a black box otherwise.
it and it's not even it you're and not only that, but when you're in affordable platforms like Facebook, for example, or Instagram, this is where like you've got billions of users. Facebook has 3.5 billion users. That's 50% of the whole population of the world.
Unbelievable.
And it's that pervasive. So your customer, when people are like, oh no, I don't advertise on Facebook, you should because everyone is literally there. Young people, old people, and definitely your buyer, if you're selling B2B, they're older. They're us. They're young, a little younger, a little bit older. They're on Facebook. But the problem is you can't say, oh, I want all the small business owners. They don't have that and they won't.
Looking ahead, what's one innovation or trend you believe will have the biggest impact on B2B marketing over the next 3 to 5 years?
Ooh, this is my favorite.
Well, I know
Yes.
you tech got a techie background, so
Yes. This is something that we're working on right now. I call it ultra personalization.
okay, I like that.
And not cringy and or creepy. That's what we used to say back in the day. That's creepy. Ultra personalization. So people, like I said, they've got all these devices. They've got profiles across all these different networks. They engage in different digital frameworks and for a variety of reasons. Social norms have dramatically changed in the last 5 years. Regardless of age or cohort, humans are more likely to interface with each other through digital platforms, whether it's Instagram or Snapchat or Twitch or Kick or whatever, right? They're using digital almost like a buffer between them and actual humans. So why is that important for a business to business marketer? You've got to understand the shift in cultural norms or social norms because you've got to actually break through that digital buffer. in order to build that business-to-business relationship. And it's very different than selling lifestyle products or consumables. I've got the ACV gummies, I've got some weed, I've got whatever I'm selling. It's a personal choice, and people will go for what it looks like or if it's cheap. It's very transactional. But if you're selling chassis-based servers for a data center or AI-driven analytics or some kind of a complex business solution, lots of people are usually involved, or really complex requirements involved. And so guess what? You've got to build a relationship. They're just not going to be like, yeah, I'm gonna buy that $60,000 server from you versus from
Yeah, why would I?
her. Why would I? And because I know you both got the same server, right? And you can't just throw up prices. You don't throw up, save $200 on this $60,000 server. They don't care. You know? So how do you get the deal? You have to build a relationship. They have to feel like, you're gonna be good for their job. You're going to be good for the company. You're going to make it easier for them to get their daily job done. And remember, we talked about over 1 million people have been laid off in the last 18 months in tech roles. Guess what? A lot of these people are busier than they've ever been before,
Doing more than one job.
doing more than one job. And so people are busier. You've got this digital buffer, so they're not as quick to answer the phone or talk to you or respond to your email. And you've got to put in more efforts back to ultra personalization. So ultra personalization is we're working on some AI tools right now where we can pull information, like for example, because I know with you've got that whole big database with all people's digital footprints, their X and their LinkedIn and their Facebook and all that. LinkedIn is fair game. I would not encourage you to be trolling on people's Facebooks for business purposes. Maybe their X, because depending on the brand, but definitely the company's profiles in social media and in the digital sphere. And this is what we're building. If you actually had a piece of AI that could go out and snoop on everybody digitally in their business realms, the company's social media platforms, that person's LinkedIn profile, Google searching, are they speaking at conferences, and put all that into a living database that's constantly being refreshed, and then use a marketer's incredible wit to turn that into conversational items that you could either engage with them on social or use for email, for example, then suddenly you'd have communications that would really matter to people.
Time and
And this is timely,
right.
right? Now, this is the biggest thing in sales right now, because salespeople have these amazing sales tools, like Salesforce has got Pardot and it's all integrated. And so salespeople can launch kind of campaigns to a target set of audience. And so the big thing for sellers, oh, customize, right? Make sure you put in the work and no low effort communications. But then again, your salespeople are still sitting there going, snooping on people and doing it all manually and trying to craft that really good message. Wouldn't it be great if you could leverage machine learning and AI to do that
Yeah,
and to
so you're
create
saying
a really smart message?
you're developing that
That's exactly what we're doing. Yep. We
yeah
do it
are you
manually now, and we're making progress, and we have programs to do that, but we're working with a couple of our consultants to build a platform to do it.
what do you think
Very
your
interesting.
estimated time for launch for that would be for
I call it Be Insightly,
yeah
and so we're hoping to launch it early next year, this time next year.
Nice.
We'll be testing it, of course, for our own purposes
Well,
between now and then.
as long as I've known you've always been ahead of the curve.
Oh, thank
Yes,
you.
and I also know your attention to detail and how much you value your clients and how much you go to the mat for them.
Thank you.
So, if somebody wants to have a conversation with you, how do they reach you?
Thank you. You can just reach me at nico@change3e.com and I answer my email. I'm also the face of some of our outreach, and I get different all kinds of replies, and a lot of companies when they do marketing programs, there's somebody who replies, or they don't respond to replies at all. But I do. I respond to everyone. I monitor those things. So
I know
yeah,
you.
I'm very accessible.
Yeah,
Thank you. Thank you.
that's why we've had such a long-term relationship because you do
Exactly.
a great job
Yeah.
for your clients. And I'm
Thank
so
you.
excited that you took 20 minutes out of your day to come spend
Thank
time
you.
with us. I know how busy you are. And as Nico said, you can reach her at nico@change3.com.
E. Yep.
Change3e.com.
Dot com.
All
Yep.
right. Thank you again
Thank you,
so
my
much
dear. It was a
for
joy.
spending time with us.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
That. Hi, I'm Paula Keoki, and thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, share it on social media, and don't forget to rate or review the podcast wherever you listen. Your feedback helps us grow and inspire others. If you're a successful business leader or marketing professional with insights to share, we'd love to feature you as a guest. Visit outwardmedia.com/podcast to learn more. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and connect with us on social media to join the conversation. Visit outwardmedia.com to explore how we can help take your strategic audience building to the next level. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.